She did it to me again. She made me cry. I got so many wires here. Okay, great. It's good to be here. Jan and I and Dara were down in San Diego this weekend. I was speaking at a singles conference there. I appreciate Dara coming back last night. We got in at 2 in the morning because she wanted to be here for worship team this morning. I appreciate that. I also appreciate Alan, Joanna, and Bridget. We're going to count them as officially here today, all right? We take attendance, all right, because they're out serving the community. They're personing a booth, the Relay for Life, the whole weekend. That's part of what we're doing. Remember we said last, I think on Wednesday, it's not what we do, it's who we are. So we're going to give them check mark for attendance at church today, all right, just officially. I don't think God really exactly keeps track of that, but we do. We wouldn't normally acknowledge a birthday, but I don't know. We have to, you know, Joyce. It's her birthday. Oh, did I not turn it on? I did not turn it on. Okay. It's not on because I didn't turn it on. That's why it's not on. Okay. Great. So anyway, we started a two-part series on the kingdom of God. And like I said, I pared it from 37 points down to 35. But actually, I worked really hard this weekend. I got it down to 30 points. And we covered 15 last week. And I'm sure you can do the math on that. 30 divided by 2 is 15. Right, Chris?
Yeah.
Evie, he says Evie's better at math than I am. Okay. So we're talking about the kingdom of God. And we talked about the fact that this is the thing that Jesus talked about more than anything else. By far. In fact, whatever is second place, I don't know what it is, it's pretty far behind. And so it means that we should think about the kingdom of God and be aware of it. But then we asked, well, what is it then, you know? And we found out it's kind of a big concept. Some of us were taught that the church is the kingdom of God and vice versa. We realize it's much bigger than that. The church, the kingdom. Oh, we could even go through the slides. Let's see here. Okay. Oops. Ah. Oh, it's not put in yet. It is. Okay. Okay, great. The kingdom of God is the topic Jesus talked about the most. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is any place, person, or situation where God is king. And that hopefully includes the church. It's a big concept. It's taught in parables. It comes suddenly. It's revealed in history. It's not exactly the same as the church. It's bigger than the church. It's already, but not yet. We spent a lot of time thinking about the fact that it's becoming, and we're part of that becoming. It's nature, it's Israel, it's the church, it's anyone who's submitted to God, it's the Garden of Eden, it's heaven, it's all those things. Now we caught up to point 16. The kingdom of God is among us. Luke 17:21. When Luke was here, did he keep teaching out of Luke?
He did.
He did, yeah. All right, so we'll have to stick to John here when I'm here. And then the next person to be hired is either going to be named Matthew or Mark. Am I the first one to notice that, or did somebody notice that already? All right, you all already noticed that. Okay. All right. Luke 17:21. So if you're interviewing next time around, just look for Mark's or Matthew's. Okay. Luke 17:21. I'll start in verse 20. Once I'm being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is in you. It's not a physical thing. So this morning, as we're thinking about the kingdom of God, realize that it's here. I mean, we're part of it, and it's part of us. Those whom the Holy Spirit lives in, the kingdom of God is in them, and it's among them. And that's really, it's really about a relationship with God. The kingdom of God is first and foremost about having a relationship with God. And it's not a physical place. That was one of the problems the apostles had. They thought it was a place. Some people in the Church of Christ think it's Abilene, Texas, Abilene Christian University. Those who've been around for a while, they used to say it's not a long distance number. God is not a long distance number in Abilene, Texas. Most of you don't get that joke, so let's just not worry about that joke. All right? But the kingdom of God, it's not a place. It's within us. It's among us. It's definitely not a physical thing. The kingdom of God is not of this world. By the way, if you weren't here last week, you realize why I could get through 15 points, because I'm making a point in a few seconds here. Okay, great. The kingdom of God is not of this world. Let's read John 18:36. Going from Luke to John, then we'll probably go back to Luke. All right, John 18:36. I'll go back to 35. Pilate says, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." You know, I think we tend to forget this. The kingdom is not of this world. And we can remember from the sermon we did a few months ago, everything you can see is not important. And everything that's important is something you can't see. And I think we as disciples of Jesus can forget the kingdom of God is not of this world. Who's the king of this world? Satan. Now, he knows his time is short. Remember we talked about we're living in the last days? The last days of what? The last days of Satan being king. And that God is going to come and he's going to reign over this whole world. It's going to be transformed. That's that future kingdom. It's already, but not yet. You know, Jesus said, we quoted from Matthew 6:25 last week. Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life," right? But remember, literally said, "Don't even think about your life." And what does your life consist of in that context? The things of this world. The things of this world are not part of the kingdom, and the kingdom is not part of this world. We tend to forget this. We tend to not realize that it's a spiritual thing. Kingdom of God, next point. Now, I don't want to dwell too much on what it's not, but there's a lot of, oh my goodness, almost any church you stop in on any Sunday morning, they'll go on and on about premillennialism and Jesus is going to come back and the rapture and he's going to live in Jerusalem and that's why we should defend a certain state in the Middle East because he's going to come and he's going to occupy a throne there in Jerusalem. The kingdom of God is not some sort of premillennial kingdom where Jesus comes back and reigns on the earth. Acts 1 verse 6. I don't want to spend a lot of time on saying what, you know, talking about false doctrine and defeating that, because I don't really care about that very much. All right, but I think it's worth mentioning. I'll go back to verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So he tells them, wait in Jerusalem. So what are they thinking? Oh, awesome. We're going to take over this place. All right. They gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" I just imagine Jesus at this point going, what have I been doing? These people actually think I'm going to rule on a throne on the earth as if the kingdom is on this earth. And again, on any given Sunday in many churches here in Bakersfield, that, you know, the sermon will be about Jesus coming back and dwelling and, you know, establishing the kingdom. In fact, one of the most common teachings in Protestant churches is the kingdom of God has not come yet. That it's going to come, that they'll typically say, and they used to say in 1979, then it didn't happen. They said 1987, and they, all right, all that stuff, all right? But let's move on, because you know what? I don't really want to get caught up in what it's not. But Jesus, man, he's frustrated by that stuff. All right, so let's not worry too much about premillennial stuff. We'll go on to what the kingdom of God is. All right. The kingdom of God is entered by being born again. You know, there's one thing about the kingdom. You know, it's not like, you know, you're sort of partial in and partial out. How many of you have ever studied the Bible with somebody, and you get down to, you know, sort of the, like, say, the cross study or something like that, and, you know, and they say, so, you know, are you in or are you out? And they say, well, I'm kind of halfway in between. You know, I'm sort of yes and sort of no. It's not that way. You know what I'm saying? Because the kingdom of God is entered by being born again. I bet a lot of you could figure out which passage I'm going to go to right now. John chapter 3. All right, let's go there. John chapter 3. My notes, I lost chapter 8, but we're going to do it without notes. That's great. We don't need notes. John chapter 3. Getting in at 2 in the morning and sleeping about 4 hours last night. You know. All right, John 3, starting in verse 3. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." Verse 4 in John 3. "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." You know, the kingdom of God is entered by being born again. Not everybody's in the kingdom. In fact, most people aren't in the kingdom. Born of the water and the Spirit. Galatians 3:26, it says, "All those who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ." And we come into the kingdom by being born again of the water and the Spirit. Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized for forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So if you're in this room and you've not been baptized into Christ, that means you're outside of the kingdom. And you don't want to be outside of that kingdom. Right? You want to get in that kingdom, don't you?
Amen.
Because if you die outside of the kingdom, that means you're shut out forever. You know? So, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got born again about 40 years ago. You know, it's something you're either in or you're out. It's not kind of halfway measure. If you're in the world, then you're not in the kingdom. And if you're kingdom, you're not in the world. That's why Jesus said you can't love God and money. You got to kind of choose, right? Money, God. Money, God. You would think that would be an easy choice. It's like Esau. Lentil stew or the inheritance from my father. Lentil stew, the inheritance from my father. You know? Money, kingdom of God. You'd think that would be an easy choice. But almost everybody makes the wrong choice. And it's our job to help them make the right choice. Matthew, apparently, since I lost my notes, apparently we're going to Matthew 12, 20-34. So we're going to the name of the next leader of this church that's going to come in a few years. Matthew 12, 28-34. That's right. I also lost, I also lost Hebrews 3 through 7 from my Bible this weekend. It's gone. And my next sermon in the series is from Hebrews 7, so I don't know what I'm going to do about that. All right, Matthew 12, 28 through 34. All right, or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. So I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad, its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth that speaks what the heart is full of. As a good man brings good out of the things that are stored up in him, an evil man brings evil things out of the evil that is stored up in him. You know, the kingdom of God is something you're either in or you're out. There's no in between there. Okay. The unrighteous cannot live in the kingdom of God. I sure wish I had those page notes. Oh, I don't even have a scripture for this one. Oh, my goodness gracious. I guess so. That'd be good. Isn't that good that we post the notes?
Yep.
All right. Oh, you even have the PowerPoint.
Yeah.
All right. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, that's interesting because the PowerPoint doesn't agree. This one says part. Okay. That's interesting. I'm sorry, folks. All right. I don't know. Oh, that's the old version. Ah. All right. Never mind. We'll go to point 23. The kingdom of God is a radical ethic in complete opposition to the worldly ethic. You know, the kingdom of God is not like the world, that's for sure. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I remember that from my notes. Hebrews 11. Please accept my apologies. All right. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they're longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You know, the kingdom we're part of is different from this world. In this world, we're going to be aliens and strangers. We're not going to fit in. We hold to an ethic that the world thinks is utter nonsense. The ethic that we hold to is found, I would say, the best place to find it is in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read from a book about the kingdom of God by Hicks and Valentine. They say, to live in the shadow of the second coming is to take seriously the ethic of Jesus. The peculiarity of disciples is not that they wear quaint clothing or don't use modern technology. Rather, their strangeness is located in their embrace of an ethic the world considers utter nonsense. Our citizenship is in heaven. You know, my passport says I'm a citizen of America. But I'm telling you, it's not true. Physically I am, but spiritually my citizenship is in heaven. In fact, in Philippians 3:20, that's what Paul said. Our citizenship is in heaven. We live as if the future is already here. We live as if the future kingdom is present now. Because it is already, but not yet. We're part of this. We're not immigrants. Immigrants come into a country, and by the way, we love immigrants, right? immigrants come into a country and then they try to become part of that country. They try to fit in. But we're aliens. We're not trying to fit in this with this world. And the way we look at things is really strange to the world. Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We say the way to wealth is through poverty. And the world says, you're crazy. That's kingdom ethics. Kingdom ethics says the things of this world, if they happen to have them, we're happy to have them, but that's not what it's about. We don't care about that stuff. Hopefully. Hopefully that's you. Because either you're in or you're out. If you're in the kingdom, poverty is something you celebrate. Not that you are hoping to not be able to find your next meal, but that money is something that you don't value compared to the kingdom. In verse 4 it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We say the way to happiness is through mourning. The way through happiness is through suffering. Through suffering for those who are lost. Through mourning over our sins. That's the way to joy and to happiness. And the world says, you're crazy, because the way to happiness is through pleasure. And we don't seek pleasure. If we have some pleasure, we accept it gratefully. Food tastes good to Christians and non-Christians. And married Christians do the same thing that non-married Christians do, if you know what I'm talking about. All right? But we say, blessed are those who mourn. The world says, blessed are those who are awesome and great and push people around and everybody else thinks they're great. But what do we say? We say, blessed are the meek. We say the ones that are going to inherit the kingdom of God are the ones that say, God is great. And Jesus and Paul said we should consider others better than ourselves. How's that work? Is that a good ethic out there in the world? Consider other better than yourself? The kingdom of God is very strange. We say, blessed are the pure in heart. Is purity valued in the world? Oh, my goodness gracious. Kingdom ethics. Jesus said, don't just avoid adultery. Don't even think about it. Matthew 5, 17-48. Said, don't just avoid killing people. Don't even think badly about them. Says, don't just love your neighbor, love your enemy. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is an ethical system that the world thinks is utter nonsense. In Matthew 6, 25-33, it says, seek first his kingdom. And I think we're beginning to understand what that's about. Seek first meekness. Seek first mercy. Seek first to become poor. Seek first to mourn. Seek first to have Jesus lifted up. These are kingdom values. Matthew 6, 19-21, where it says, put your treasures in heaven. Are you putting your treasures in heaven? And we read it last week where it says, don't even give a thought to your life. Don't even give a thought to your life. The entire Sermon on the Mount is about the kingdom of God. Jesus says, put your treasures in heaven. Put your treasures in the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. All right, the kingdom of God is a place where things ought to be. You know, this world is really messed up. I'm sorry, but this world is really messed up. Why? Because God gave us a freedom to decide whether we're going to do what's right and wrong, and we decide to do what's wrong. I just want to read a couple of passages. I'm not going to make much comment. I'm just going to read them. But the kingdom of God is a place where things are how they ought to be. And to the extent the church is the kingdom already, but not yet. The church is a place where things are what they ought to be. Or they're certainly becoming that. Isaiah 11, 6-9. Isaiah gives great pictures of what the kingdom of God is about. In Isaiah 11, 6 through 9, he's talking about the kingdom of God now. I'm going to read another passage that talks about the kingdom of God in the future. And what's interesting is the way Isaiah describes the kingdom of God now is pretty similar to how he describes the kingdom of God in the future. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The Republican will be good best friends with the Democrat. Right? It's amazing. Because they don't care about that stuff. Now, they care about that stuff, but when they come into the family, that stuff doesn't matter anymore because we're in the kingdom. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The Vikings fans will be friends with the Rams fans. Or I guess Dodger fans, but I guess Dodger fans, they don't care about that. So it's baseball. Okay. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. This is a metaphor. It's not like in heaven, there's going to be a bunch of cobras running around, slithering around. It's just, you got to get the picture. This is a picture of the kingdom. The kingdom is a place where cobras play around babies. Don't take this literally, please. Don't take this literally. The young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord and the waters as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him. And who is the root of Jesse? It's Jesus. Because David is the son of Jesse, and Jesus is the root of Jesse. He's talking about the church. Get a picture of the church. The church is a place where things are as God intended them to be. Where people who would not naturally be friends at all, they enjoy each other. You know, I appreciate Chris pointing out that races and nationalities and the poor and the rich, we don't have a whole lot of them. Well, actually, we're Americans, we're probably all rich, but we all are together, the old and the young. I asked the campus group to consider kind of separating from the older people in their Bible talk. They said, we're not going to do it. I said, you're smarter than I am. Thank you for doing that. Amen. Leo, you just got called old, just so you know. Who's the oldest one in that group? I think it might be Leo. Leo's officially old. It might be, we're not saying, yeah, it's Leo. We'll say it's Leo. Let's just assume it's Leo. Okay. Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. Again, we're just trying to create a picture of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a place where things are the way God intended them to be. And it's also the way it will be. Because Isaiah 65, you're going to see the imagery is very similar, but in this prophecy, he's talking about the future. He's talking about heaven, if you will. Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. I really love this passage. See, I'll create new heavens and a new earth. So you see, he's talking about the future. The first one was talking about now. This is the future. Imagery very similar. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they even come to mind. When you're in the kingdom of God, you know, I don't know about you, but I tend to think, I'll think about, you know, all the stuff during this life. In the kingdom of God, it's going to be so awesome. The stuff that's going on here is like, oh yeah, I guess we did do that, didn't we? Yeah, I guess so. You know, because it's just going to be so amazing. Nor will they even come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. The kingdom of God is a place where things are as God intended them to be all along. Isaiah 2, 3 through 4. The kingdom of God is a place where there's peace and justice. I don't know about you, but I want peace. And I want justice. Isaiah 2, 3 through 4. Another kingdom prophecies. There are a lot of kingdom prophecies. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the kingdom. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his way so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between nations, will settle disputes for many peoples. They'll beat their swords into plowshares. And they won't post angry things on Facebook anymore. Hallelujah. No political things on Facebook ever again. Mm-mm. Nation will not take a sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the world, in the light of the Lord. The kingdom of God is a place where there's justice and peace, where things are made right. And again, that's here in part. But it's going to become greater when God comes back, when God restores the kingdom. Hebrews 12, 25 through 29. Hebrews 12, 25 through 29. I love this one. Hebrews 12. That's still in my Bible. I lost chapter 3 through chapter 7, but I still have... I don't know what we'll do if we have a scripture from there. Hebrews 12, 25 through 29. We'll have somebody else read it, right? All right, great. It says, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The word once more indicates the removing of what could be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The kingdom of God is something that cannot be moved. It's secure. It's safe. You can depend on it. Another point is the kingdom of God is a place where God's will is done. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So where is God's will done, apparently? In heaven. Down here, God's will is not always done. I mean, just read the newspaper. How many of the things that happen in the newspaper are God's will? About 20%. All right, if that. So the kingdom of God is a place where God's will is done. That's in the church. But it's also in the future kingdom. It's in the kingdom of God that you will be placed in if you're walking by faith when you die. The kingdom of God is of inestimable value. Wow, that's point number 28 out of 31. Wow, we're doing amazing here. Think about it. Think about the thing that God has given you. Because when you were baptized into Christ, you entered the kingdom. And it's like a pearl of great price. It's like a treasure hidden in a field. And when the guy found the treasure hidden in the field, what did he do? He sold everything he had. And he bought that field. Have you sold everything you had? And have you bought that field? Because that's what the kingdom of God is worth. It's worth whatever you have. So if you have $1 million, it's worth $1 million. If you have $10, it's worth $10. It's worth whatever you have. There's the story of the guy that, you know, it's a kind of an illustration. God said to him, you know, give up everything you have. And he said, you know, to God, I gave up all my money. He said, well, you still have a house. Oh, okay. All right, so he sold his house. And the guy said, you know, I've given up everything you had. And God said to him, well, what about your wife? Okay. All right, I'm going to give her over to her. All right, now you got my house, you got my money, you got my wife. You got everything, God. He says, well, what about you? You know, how about you? The kingdom of God is of inestimable value. You can't even talk about it. Jesus says, who of you would gain the whole world and forfeit their soul? What's the whole world worth? You want to do the calculation? All right, just buy all the land in California. Just buy all the land in California. What is that? $147 trillion. The kingdom of God is worth more than all those things. The kingdom of God is a place where Jesus is. Remember, John the Baptist said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. And then who walked in? Jesus. And you know what? If you're a Christian, Jesus lives in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Let's read Luke 4, 18 through 21. I love this passage. Now, this passage doesn't actually mention the kingdom of God, but I believe this is Jesus' first sermon. And in this sermon, he's announcing the coming of the kingdom. An interesting thought would be, if you were trying to imagine, what would Jesus preach in his first sermon? That's a great question to ask you right now. All right. So what would Jesus preach in his very first sermon? All right, think about that. And let's read what he preached in his first sermon. Maybe what he actually preached is not what you would have thought. He went to Nazareth. It's the first sermon recorded in Luke. All right, and verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news for the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The kingdom of God involves setting the captives free. It's good news for the poor. It's recovery of sight for the blind. It's healing. It's freedom. It's deliverance. Why is it fulfilled? Because Jesus came. The kingdom of God is principally about a relationship with God. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. We're going to read more scriptures in this sermon than any other five sermons ever combined. That's okay. That's okay. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. In Leviticus 26, we won't turn there, God says, I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will live among you. And he says, I will walk among you. What's he talking about? He's talking about Israel. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the Garden of Eden. He's talking about Revelation 21 and 22. He's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about having a relationship with our Creator. And last but not least, Mark 1, 14 and 15. I want to end with an admonition. Mark 1, 14 and 15. The kingdom of God is something to be proclaimed. It's something to be preached. It's something to be announced boldly. Mark 1, 14 and 15. After Jesus was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. You know what? We need to be talking about the kingdom. We need to be preaching. The door is open. Jesus is the gate. We don't know so much need to convince people. We need to inform people about the kingdom of God. It's a place where there's peace. It's a place where there's justice. It's a place where things are the way they ought to be. It's like the Garden of Eden. It's a place where people walk with their God. No more suffering, no more tears. So what's our role then? What's our role? Well, we know we need to seek first the kingdom. We need to live lives in submission to God. We need to live as instruments of God. Because remember, what does the kingdom have? It has a king and it has subjects. We need to consider becoming a missionary. How many of you have seriously considered becoming a missionary? By the way, Jan and I are missionaries. We just came up here and our mission field is Bakersfield.
Amen.
Amen. Consider taking the one-year challenge. If you don't know what that is, ask me later. I'll explain it to you. Didn't Vivian take the one-year challenge? I think she did. And who? Amy, okay, great. Ask yourself, what does God want to do through me? That's what it means to be part of the kingdom. In our church, we need to realize that our church is an outpost of the kingdom of God. So what should it look like? You know, because the extent that people see the kingdom, to some extent, it's right here. And we need to make it look as much like the kingdom is supposed to look like as possible. Ask yourself, what is God doing in Bakersfield right now? Because that's what we want to be part of. That's why we want to start creating a more focused hope ministry thing. We've been doing such amazing things. We're going to keep all doing all those things. But we want to have a more focused ministry. We want to be a place where it's like a beacon, like a city on a hill, because that's what the kingdom of God is. It's a city on a hill. What is the Holy Spirit doing right now in this community? That's where the church needs to be. Start a program. Get involved in social justice. I really appreciate my friend Lindsay Dominguez down in San Diego. One night they were having a Bible talk, and they were doing a thing about helping the poor and the needy. And after that, they said, you know what? We should actually do something. So they started a program for homeless youth, aged like 18 through 25. And they now have government funds. And I believe they sponsor eight, you know, homeless young men, getting them jobs and a place to live. They're making a difference. And they're even talking about hiring an intern from the church. So instead of having the church pay somebody to, I don't know, do whatever, they're going to go out and find homeless youth and find jobs for them and a place for them to stay. I think these are things that people in the kingdom of God do.
Amen.
So that's what the kingdom is about. The kingdom of God is a place where God is king. Is God your king? Have you been born again? Have you come into the kingdom? If you have, well, let's just celebrate it. Let's celebrate it. Only the ladies are invited, I guess. Sorry. Yeah, we'll have to have our own guy thing, I guess. But I don't know about you, but I am so thankful to be part of the kingdom. I'm thankful that we are an outpost of the kingdom, that God is working through us. Thank you very much.
Said it for years. I thought, you know,